Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining me now is a guy that I'm very, very happy to have here, because he is the reason we won an award on this show last year. The award-winning, and I'm not talking about the GM of the Year stuff. No. The WBA award-winning Matt Arnold joins us now, but he's got a fancy title now because he won that award. They're like, if you're going to be a media star, we can't have you leaving for Sparky to go do a talk show. I got to make sure we pay you a little bit more and get you a fancy title. So you're welcome, Matt, on that. Matt Arnold joins us now from the Brewers, president of baseball operations and GM. What's going on, man?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you coming out here, being a part of this. You obviously were out here last year. Was year one, as I mentioned 100 times. We won an award. It was cool. No pressure, but I'm using this again. So let's make sure we do good.
Yeah.
So when you get to this point where you are now as an organization, and I think we've been at this point maybe for a couple of years now, where I don't know how much you listen to sports talk radio or read or whatever else, but you've got a family, so I'm sure they hear about it, right? Yeah. The want of, hey, man, are we ever going to get to the World Series? Hey, man, we need to increase payroll. How are we ever going to get there by not doing it that way? That, at some point, I would imagine, probably gets to you a little bit. And at some point, you're like, man, I hear you. Like, I'm doing the best I can, right? I mean, I'm sure at some point, you're just like, ah, shut up, everybody. I'm trying my best. Do you have moments like that?
You know, not really. I mean, I'm a fan too. You know,
yeah.
I grew up in the left field bleachers in Oakland Coliseum. You know, I mean, that's where I grew
that's
up.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's
that.
Where
you mean Sacramento?
Right. Yeah. We don't
mean Vegas.
We're not talking about that. Don't do that to me.
I won't.
Too soon.
I won't.
Too
Go
soon.
Ahead.
No.
I won't.
But no, it's like I've lived here for over a decade. I feel like I'm a Wisconsin guy.
Yeah.
I'm on the Bucks. You know, like,
yeah.
And that's a whole. I don't want to be a trigger right now for you, but
please don't.
That whole
you're
thing,
supposed to bring me happy and joy.
But, like, I care about the Bucks a
yes.
lot. You know, I pull for the Packers, and I mean, like, every weekend I'm in, like, anti Bears. Like,
I'm on this.
Like, I left the Raiders a long time ago.
Good.
I mean, like, they moved to Vegas.
Not much left there either.
You know,
oh
right.
My God.
Yeah.
So you lost the Raiders and now the A's to
it's
Vegas?
Not. Well,
so you just don't ever go to Vegas again.
Yeah,
you're like boycotting Vegas?
We were just there for the GM meetings.
Well, you
yeah.
had to go,
so,
though.
Yeah, we had to go.
You had no choice.
So we'll go there. But no, I mean, I care deeply. I hear about it from everybody. And
yeah.
It's because we all care. I mean, it's our families. It's our lives. I mean, we put our heart and soul into this thing and desperately want to win. And so that is first and foremost on my mind every single day.
So I got conflicting reports here. So I'm just going to put you on the spot because that's why you're here. So I get my guy Harris Turan. I love Harris. That's my guy.
Yeah.
You know Harris.
Love Harris.
Love
yeah.
Harris. I call him Mr. Milwaukee, right?
Sure.
Because Harris Turan was a part owner with Bud Selig back when Bud was here. Then he jumps into this ownership group with Mark. Admirals are floundering. They're in trouble, possibly being gone. I got you. I'll take it. So he takes over that, brings in a bunch of Brewers execs, Doug Melvin, Gord Ash, all those guys. They hop on board with him. So he saves the Admirals. He's like the leading booster for men's college basketball over there, takes care of the coaching salaries and all that stuff over there at Milwaukee. The man is Mr. Milwaukee.
No doubt.
So whenever I have him on, I always like to poke in a Brewers question or two at the end. So at the end of the last time I talked to him a couple weeks ago, I said, Harris, we can spend more money this year. And And then at the end, this was before the Woodruff deal. At the end, he goes, yeah, man. Yeah, we're going to be good. I said, okay, fine. Then, a few days later, Ken Rosenthal has a piece saying, nah, it doesn't appear like the Brewers are wanting to spend more money or whatever. They might be, you know, having to think of move off Freddie Peralta or something to save money. So, Matt Arnold, what's the definitive word, man? Are we raising payroll this year? Are we staying the same? Do we think we're going to have to go back? What do we got?
I think what I would say is, honestly, I think we got to stay nimble, right? We know who we are. Mm-hmm. We're the Brewers. We're not the Dodgers, you know. And there are teams that didn't get in the playoffs that spent a lot more than we
sure.
did, right? And so doesn't mean it doesn't help, but I don't think it's the only piece of this. But to your point, you know, we got to do something, and I think our fans deserve that. And I think really, I mean, the move that we just made with Brandon Woodruff, bringing him back,
it's a lot of money
for the I think the largest annual salary in the history of the franchise for a pitcher says a lot
for sure.
You know what I mean? And so I think that shows the commitment that we have to winning here, and that's a huge credit to Mark Attanasio for doing that. And we're bringing back the core of this team, too. I mean, that's another exciting piece of this. I mean, we really have an exciting group. We won 97 games last year. Didn't get to Valhalla, where we wanted to be.
Right.
But we had a really good team last year. And to bring the entire core back plus Woody is really exciting.
Okay. So when the Woodruff thing came about, I said, hey, man, like, I would assume before you do this, there's conversations between you and the player's agent as far as, okay, kind of likelihood are we talking about you actually taking this deal or not? Because draft picks are vital in smaller markets. If I'm going to lose you, but I can get a draft pick, and I know you're not going to take this qualifying offer, we'll make it. Fans will think we're in. It's all cool. And then if you don't take it, it's no big deal because I get the pick. How much conversations are there between you and an agent or any organization and an agent before you decide whether or not you're going to do that?
Yeah, quite a few. And I have a really good relationship with Bo McInnes. But, you know, draft picks are draft picks, right? We love those
sure.
things, but like Woody is Woody, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
so having that guy here and what he meant to this franchise meant more than any kind of draft pick we could have possibly gotten.
Talking with Matt Arnold, president of baseball operations and general manager. So did you know when you offered he was going to take it?
Didn't know, honestly. Yeah, wasn't.
So they didn't give you a, yeah, we're going to sign
this.
No,
was not sure. Yeah, honestly, we weren't sure what was going to happen there, but thrilled that he took it, you know,
yeah.
for sure. Because, I mean, look, this is a guy that has opportunities to go a lot of places, and it's a two-way street, right? He's a chance to go to anywhere he wants. You know, he's that kind of player, and
right.
a lot of teams want him. But for him to want to come back here says a lot about him.
So is this a precursor to trying to figure out a three-year deal with Brandon Woodruff and move this money to where we want to move this money to? Or is this just currently a one-year deal, and that's where we're at with the agent?
Currently 1 year, but always open to conversations.
Sure.
Had the door wide open for him for a long time.
The great thing is, the last year when we talked to Matt Arnold, I was talking to Matt Arnold about celebrating that extension for Jackson Chourio, and were you doing shots, and were you partying after Chourio signed that deal, and how cool was that? Now we fast forward a year, and now we sit here, and we see a guy like Jesus Madé coming, and Peña coming, and Mizorowski doing Mizorowski-type things and so forth. From the outside looking in, as a fan, I look at that Chourio model and go, how many times can I do that? Can I do that four times? Can I do that five times? Because if you can do that four or five times and keep a core together for 8 years or 10 years or whatever it is at that type of number, this puts this team in an unbelievable position of strength going forward.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think, like you said, we've done that in a number of cases with a lot of different guys, right? And so I think that has been part of our business model here, and always open to having those kind of conversations. And look, I mean, when you have a good major league team and a really strong farm system, we're in a really good spot.
Right,
gives us a position of strength to deal with in both directions, honestly. And so guys work really hard. A credit to our scouts, our player development guys, all the coaches that we have that do a tremendous job of the system there, just getting those guys ready to go, because Murph has high standards once they get here, and once they get there, they got to be good, you know. And so that's a credit to the coaches that have done a great job the entire way for all those guys.
The other point about this that we talked about, and I don't know where you sit on it, me personally as a fan, I'm a little bit hesitant giving 10 years of money or 8 years of money to a pitcher. I feel like there are things that could go wrong to affect that person's career significantly versus a hitter. If I give the same number to, you know, I'm not worrying about blowing out an elbow or blowing out a shoulder or having something horrific happening like Brandon Woodruff and we lose like 2 years. Does that play into it when you start talking about long-term money where you're like, yeah, I'm more lenient to maybe do that with a hitter than maybe I am with a pitcher?
It all depends. I mean, look, we've signed extensions with Freddie.
Yeah.
We've signed extensions with Ashby.
Ashby.
You know, I mean, we have those on the books for sure. And you know, always open to having those kind of conversations. Of course, there's probably more risk there with pitchers, like you said, just by nature of what they're doing for a living.
Yeah.
But again, I think like it depends on the type of person for sure.
Mizorowski started in AAA. We've heard about Mizorowski coming up, control issues, so forth. But he's got nasty stuff. When he's on, he's on. He comes out and he dominates. Then he gets hit or whatever by that ball, and then all of a sudden he's out for a little while. And then he comes back, and now all of a sudden the control issues show up a little bit more. And I was saying on the air going into the postseason about whether or not he should be on the playoff roster or not. I said, man, maybe he's just a big game pitcher. Maybe this cat just gets going when everybody's on him. And when he came back from that injury, National eyes weren't on him like they were when he first got here. I mean, we throw no hit in this game. We throw no hit in that game. And everybody's talking about Miz, and he's amped, and he's going, and he's juiced. And then all of a sudden, that wasn't there anymore. And all of a sudden, he started losing his control a little bit. And what happens? You get to the postseason, and there's the guy that we saw earlier in the year. I was like, man, this is just everybody looking at me. I'm going to go. And to me, as a Brewer fan, that gets me excited about what this could be like going forward.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, when you see him when he's on, I mean, he's unhittable, you know.
Yes, he is.
And it's really special. And for a guy to come up and be an all-star after, what was it, five or six starts, yep. Right? I mean, he just came in, walked in the door, and blew the doors off. You don't see that very often, you know. And of course, I mean, you can't name every pitcher that has always come up and struggled, right? All these guys go through their ruts. We had it with Woody and Freddie and Corbin and so many guys along the way. But then you have a guy like Miz show up, and then he's dominant. He hits a little bump in the road, and then he comes on for those big games, just like you're saying, Spark. And then you're like, wow, like that's the guy, and he's hopping off the mound and he's fist bumping,
right.
And like that's really awesome.
That's exactly what you see. And you know, they were asking Pat Murphy about that, like, hey, do you want to calm that down? Do you want to temper that enthusiasm down? But it was, this year was the first time where I really felt my age. I'm 50 next year, Matt. I'm 50
wow.
Next year.
All right.
How long until you're 50?
I got a couple years. I got a few more.
Yeah, you have no gray hair. I have a ton. That's why I wear a stocking cap. But this is my thing. When I heard him talk for the first time after a game, I was like, holy cow, am I old? Because he sounds young to me. My producer, Charlie, who's just a few years out of college, even he goes, man, he sounds young. He is really young sounding. But from a maturity standpoint, on the mound and that type of stuff, I feel like he's more advanced than what he sounds in an interview after the game.
No doubt. Yeah, and again, like he is a young kid. You know, I mean, that's just reality. Well, like you're saying, he definitely is a young guy, and he's got a lot to learn. But man, I mean, he's not afraid. You know, and we saw that back in at Crowder when he was pitching there.
Yep.
He was fist pumping and punching out 17 guys, and our scouts were all over him. So a credit to those guys, and a credit to who Miz is. You know, I mean, he wants the ball in big games, and I love that about him.
I always like to face up to when I screw up or say something wrong, and I'm gonna take my lumps for you, Matt Arnold, right now, because I was not a fan of the Quinn Priester deal. I didn't like it. I was like, what are we doing? Like, it didn't work in Pittsburgh. They're ready to give up on him already. Where was he, in Boston or Baltimore, wherever the heck he was? And now he comes to Milwaukee, and I'm like, I love Chris Hook. I think the man should have his own radio show. He's really good. Mm. And I was like, man, this here, I don't like this at all. And sure enough, Chris Hook, Priester obviously deserves a lot of credit. I mean, did you see that? When you got him, did you see that happening this year?
I mean, look, he did awesome, all right? I think that's just a great team effort. Starts with Hooky and starts with the kid. I mean, really,
yes.
Like, QP did an unbelievable job. I mean, he's
QP?
He's such a great kid. Yeah,
QP.
He's awesome. I mean, yeah,
okay.
Whatever
QP.
You want. Yeah,
no, we'll go with
he's
QP.
Great. Yeah,
all right, QP it is.
He's unbelievable, and he's just a great guy to have around. He really cares. You know, Midwest dude that just gets it, and he's a competitor, and he wants the ball, and you could see. I remember that game against Chicago, against the Cubs at home, packed crowd. He didn't pitch great, you know, and that was like you could feel it, him coming off the mound, and just the youth there, but learning, you know, and this guy really wanted to get there, and you could feel it. It's just like. And then he just started slowly turning the corner. And it's like, hey, I've been there. I've done that. I failed. I know what that's like. And now I understand what that is, and I have to make an adjustment. And he did. And, again, that's just an enormous credit to him.
At what point do GMs stop talking to you about when you want a pitcher from them? At what point are they like, dude, we're not talking to you? Because we know how this is going to work. You're going to get him. He's going to become something. And then we're going to look like the organization that can't develop pitching while Matt Arnold and Chris Hook and company over there take our guys. Because it seemingly is. My buddy came up with this. And I said, you're crazy. And now I'm totally sold on it. He goes, they turn water into wine every year with pitching. Every year, they transform guys that others may not have saw, may not have had as much success, and you guys always seem to figure it out.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think we have a good a good team, honestly, of people that are around these guys. We have guys that are identifying, I think, the right guys, hopefully, and then you have the right coaches around them. And I think you get the information, you get the feel. You know, it's a combination. It's not just analytics. It's not just an old school mentality. It's a combination of those things, really, that I certainly believe in. And I think just the balance of those and the young guys now, they really want information. You know, it's not old school as much as it used to be. It's hey, what, you know, how can I make an adjustment? And little things like that they want to know and they want to learn. But there's a point where that becomes too much, right? And I think we just have to try to find the right balance for every player.
Let me help you with what Matt Arnold's saying. I know for a fact when I used to be down at the ballpark all the time and would talk to hitting coaches and stuff, I'd be like, hey, man, so what's going on with this guy? And we'd just be watching and be like, he don't want to talk to me. He said he'll talk to me when he wants help. What's that guy supposed to do?
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do. He's like, so I just sit here and I get blamed for it. He goes, but he won't even talk to me. He says he's been in the league so many years, he'll figure it out himself. Again, right? And as a GM, there's nothing you could do if that's where a player is.
Yeah, they have to want to learn. You know,
yes.
They have to want to grow. And sometimes you got to hit rock bottom. Not all guys are like that, but certainly there are some of those guys. And I think when you overcook it and you try to give guys, hey, here's everything about you, it's like they're like, whoa, 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 I don't want that. You know what I mean? There is a level of too much, you know, when it comes to information, because now there's just information everywhere.
Correct.
And so it can overload everybody. It's like, hey, let's just keep this simple. And so again, I think our coaches all do a really good job of that.
He is Matt Arnold, president of baseball operations, general manager of your Milwaukee Brewers. He's going to hang out for one more segment out here at the 19th annual Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robin's Nest, the foster care arm there. Out here until 6 o'clock, the Food Responders food truck is out here with their baked potato bar going on until 6 p.m. as well. If you're not able to make it out here, you can always go online and donate WISportsRadio.com or text TOYS, T-O-Y-S, to 34984. It's brought to you by Tri-City National Bank, Steel Wind Industries, By the Yard, and Metro by T-Mobile as we broadcast live from the Bear Sun Room. Back with more Matt Arnold. Coming up next, we'll switch gears a little bit. We'll talk about these young guys that took that next step, like Bryce Terang. Talk about him coming up next here. Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, live from Wisconsin Sports Radio Network Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining me here for his second segment, which is awfully nice of him to stick around for two segments. He is the president of baseball operations for the Milwaukee Brewers and general manager, Matt Arnold. Matt, how does the conversation come up to be president of baseball operations? And really, at the end of the day, what more responsibilities do you really have with that title and on hand anyhow? Because I think, and I don't know this to be true, that there wasn't a president of baseball operations prior to this. So I'm guessing you were already doing all of this stuff anyhow. And now this was a way of, let's take care of Matt, give him a little extra something, something.
Something like that. Yeah, I don't know. It's not up to me. It's up to Mark. And I'm super thankful and appreciative to be here in a really good situation. I've worked for, I guess, five different organizations in 26 years and spent the last decade plus here. Yeah. And I really love it. And so, it means a lot to me to have the belief of ownership here and our fans and everybody. And I love it here, man. I just want to win a ring.
I'm going to put you on the spot again, huh?
Oh, boy.
You okay?
Sure.
I'm not convinced I know. So when David Stearns was here, and he would come on Toy Drive every year, and I love David Stearns, always will, it was fun because if you had David Stearns on the phone, didn't tell you nothing, very straight laced, couldn't get anything out of him. You put David Stearns in this setting at the Toy Drive, a little bit more looser, it's off-season, he was good, he'd joke around with us in commercial breaks, a lot of fun, loved it. So I will always love David Stearns. But there was always that talk of Stearns in New York and wanting to possibly go home at some point if given the opportunity and so forth. And I know your childhood team ripped out your hearts. I'm not worried about you going to Vegas. So having said that, is there a dream? You don't have to tell me what it is, but is there a dream job in this league? Out there still in the back of your mind, we're like, if something were to open up, maybe. But otherwise, like, I'm good. Like, are you and I going to be doing this in 20 years?
I hope so.
Okay.
This is it, man. Yeah, okay. For me, I mean, geez, I'm just saying. I didn't think I'd be doing this.
I mean, I'll be like 70. So if I'm still kicking doing this in 20 years, we're doing good.
Let's keep
both
doing
of ourselves.
It, man.
Yes.
I love that. Okay. No, that's it, man. This is it. I don't know what else. I mean, this is it. I love it.
I'm all in on this because if you and I could do this every year, I'd be happy.
Let's do it. Why not?
Okay. So let's talk about some of these guys that took steps. Bryce Terang, we knew he was great defensively. You knew, based on where he was coming out into the draft, that he had the offensive tools. And then that last year, whether it be the pressure, whatever else, he kind of tailed off. You all did your thing with him. He comes in, does his thing at the pro level. The power man. 10 home runs in a month.
Yeah.
What? Where did that all come from, man?
I'll tell you what. This kid had some of this even in high school, honestly. Like, this kid had juice. He had power the other way as a young kid, going back to, when he was a youngster, honestly. And so it's just getting to it, in game. And this guy was always just a guy that just sort of served the ball the other way, really, really good hitter. And now he's just starting to catch a little more out front. And it's just like he just keeps getting better in a way that, like, it was in there, though. I mean, I promise you, like, the raw tools were always there, and it's just like getting it out. And you see this guy take BP. He hits the ball as far as anybody on our team. I mean, there's Yelly probably on a different level,
right?
And maybe Churio, Contreras, those types of guys. And then it's like Terang. I mean, he can hit balls way up there, in the Johnsonville deck or whatever. It's
yeah.
Just, I mean, he can smoke a ball. And so, the homers that he hit this year and the obviously big ones in the playoffs, I mean, I'm so happy for him.
Last year in spring training, we talked about, hey, man, why can't they just play Terang at shortstop, leave Joey Ortiz at third, let Caleb Durbin play second, and let's just go? And it wasn't happening, Then all of a sudden, one day, y'all tried it. Terang went to shortstop, and I think Ortiz maybe went to second for a day or two, whatever. And then Terang had something with his shoulder, and then that was the end of it. We never saw it again. Are we locked into Terang being second base, going forward, and being that guy for the Brewers at second? Or is there still a conversation piece of maybe he does eventually end up at shortstop, and would he be open to go into shortstop?
Yeah, I think Bryce always just wants to do what's best for the team. I mean, he's talked about that for years. We did, as you talked about, we had a little bit of the shoulder thing in spring at one point. But, honestly, he just wants to do what best. And I think when you see both those guys together, I mean, Ortiz at short, I mean, it's hard to find a better shortstop, to be honest.
Really good defensively. Yep.
And then, obviously, with Terang just coming off a platinum glove at second base, it's like, how much do you want to mess with that? You know what I mean? In just terms of just the defensive combo that they have. And the chemistry that they have, and it was just like talking to both of them, it made the most sense. But, again, it's still open to conversation because I think Bryce, again, just wants to do what's best for the team.
I love having Matt Arnold out here because I can tell him how my brain works, and then he can laugh at me like, that's not how it works, Sparky. But in my brain, I always look at positions. So I'll just go back. John Hammond, when he was the Bucks GM, for years would always tell me while the Bucks were struggling, and I'd be like, okay, so what is this guy? And he'd always say, Sparky, you are whoever you can guard. Right? That was his way of defining what position you are, right? Who you are, whoever you can guard defensively, right? Fair enough. I'll never forget it. I thought it was great. I'll ask you, how do you define where someone is a best fit on your team? Because for me, I'm going to take Caleb Durbin front and center. I look at him with his offensive profile, his arm strength, everything, and go, he's a second baseman. I look at Terang with his defense, his arm, everything else, and go, that's a shortstop. With all due respect to Joey Ortiz, I need a power bat at third base, and then I feel like we can go, and you put another bat in the middle of this lineup, and maybe that kind of catapults you forward. But how do you define who you are?
Good question. I don't know if it's – for me, it just depends on sort of the personnel and, like, how it fits together. You know, I don't know if it's just on, like, on an individual basis, if that makes sense. I like to look at it sort of in concert with the rest of the guys.
Sure.
And so it's like, how do they work together? What's the chemistry there? Who has the best feel for this? And like you said, you're right about the tools there. I mean, Durbin probably has the least arm there, but he also gets rid of it the fastest.
He does. Right?
I mean, so he makes up for a lot of those things. His first-step quickness, his agility over there. I mean, he made some unbelievable plays at third. So really, but I don't disagree with you because I do think you're right. Like, I think he profiles as a really good second baseman too. The challenge is there to the point about, like, working in concert. It's like, we already have a guy who's a platinum glove winner at second. You know
yep.
what I mean? So it's like, how much do you want to mess with literally the best defender in the entire sport? You know, that's something that we wrestle with, and it's like, is it worth that? And again, I think this is still a conversation we can still have, but it's just as far as sort of baking this all together with all three of those guys, that was sort of part of it.
Speaking of baking, baked potato bar going on right now over there at the Food Responders food truck, brought to you by King's Catering in Oak Creek. Make sure to take advantage of that out here. The 19th Annual Toy Drive for Children's Wisconsin and Robinson's, Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek, going until 6 o'clock, being joined by Matt Arnold, President of Baseball Operations, GM of your Milwaukee Brewers. Simple question. How much do you believe luck plays into what you do?
I wish it was none, you know, but there is, you know, it's like a batted ball a quarter of an inch lower, you know, or a quarter of an inch higher is a homer, and one of them's a ground out. You know what
right.
I mean? It's just like, sometimes you're like, man, that was the right pitch in the right situation. And so
what about on talent evaluation?
Yeah.
I'm going somewhere, don't you worry.
Man, I love this. No, I love talent evaluation. I've spent, you know, forever
right.
on this stuff, and I really, really love it. And it's far from perfect, man. I want to continue to get better and learn as much as I possibly can. But you gotta just continue to make good bets. You know what I mean? And it's like directionally, it's like what are the tools that we want? What are the skills that we want? What are the types of people that we want in the organization? It's all of those things in concert. And then how do you bake all that together? We're talking about baking stuff,
right?
Including the
potato bar,
outside,
yeah,
right. Which everyone should come out
yes.
and get that, no doubt,
no doubt.
But it's like, that is not a perfect science. Like, you can't, there's
okay.
no formula for that. And so I think just trying to put all that stuff together and just continue to say, hey, this guy has those kind of ingredients, let's make that bet. And then let's do that over and over. And if you stack those bets, I think you'll have good outcomes.
People always say, like, the NFL draft's a crapshoot, right? You don't say about the NBA draft, there's two rounds. But the NFL draft, oh, that's a crapshoot. And then the MLB draft, you really get into that because now you're talking about high school kids and 30 rounds and whatever it is, right? So then people really want to take it away. And I always kind of argue against that. I'm like, man, these guys bust their butts all year scouting and evaluating and everything else, and when they do it right, they deserve credit, right? I mean, that's my thought. Like Gutekunst with the Packers last couple of years, this is home run after home run after home run doing his thing. Where I'm going with this is, now be honest, I got honest serum somewhere in this thing if I can find it. Man, you all just get lucky on Andrew Vaughn.
Oh man, no. Well, look, I think that
that's not a pitcher. That's not
no,
a pitcher. You
sure.
all turn pitchers all the time.
No, I think, look, there's a lot that goes into those types of decisions, and certainly, you know, when you talk about a guy like Andrew Vaughn, who was a third overall pick in the country, like, that's not a guy who's a sleeper. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he's been a guy for sure, and I think it was just like he needed a change of scenery. We had people that knew this guy, and we talk about the people. It's like there's tools, there's skills, and then there's the person, right? And I think when you talk about betting on the right person, we had relationships with this guy. And people knew who he was, and I had so many of our guys coming over and saying, hey man, you got to get this guy, you
right.
got to get this guy. And so when you talk about betting on what the pedigree was there, and then you talk about the right person, we thought it was a great fit.
Yeah, I mean, that one blew everybody's mind. I think White Sox people, did you get any calls from the White Sox after he started doing what he did? I mean, first couple of games, I'm sure they're like, okay, well, that's not going to work. But by September, I'm sure that somebody from the White Sox had to call me like, man, what the hell is going on over there? Like, what did you do, man? We couldn't figure this kid out.
I mean,
doesn't that happen at some point in the GM meetings where you start having a conversation? Like, why was he so bad with our team and you all did so good? If I was the GM of another team and you did that, I'd want to know.
I mean, if you haven't made a trade that didn't work out, you haven't made enough trades. You know what I mean?
Fair
it's
enough.
Just like you got to do that. And so we've all got those, and it's going to happen, and you got to just keep fighting through it. And again, it's just about stacking bets and trying to make decisions on the right people.
I'm going to go to a guy who I know a lot of people love, and I know a ton of people feel bad for and are frustrated with, and now people don't even talk about this kid when they start talking about what next year looks like. Garrett Mitchell, where are we at? Because this dude, when right, we haven't seen it for a full year, but when right, is a stud.
Stud, yeah. I mean, look at what he did in the playoffs a year ago. I mean, he was unbelievable. I mean, this guy, and you put him next to all these other guys, I mean, it's a different animal. I mean, he is so physical. He's the fastest guy on the field. He's got the best tools, you know, in the stadium at all times. I mean, there's just nobody that's going to out-athlete that guy. But he just hasn't stayed healthy, right? And so I think that's just going to be something that he's got to continue to work at. And that doesn't mean he's not working. I mean, this kid is such a good kid, and he cares so much. And he is, when he's gotten hurt, he's crushed, you know, because he's worked so hard to get back there. So I do feel bad for him because he has put in the work, and he deserves to be on the field and contributing because he is a great kid and he's a great athlete, you know. And like I said, in the playoffs a year ago, like, he was carrying us at times. I mean,
sure.
He's really talented.
Can we go back to arbitration? Because I swear to you, I get mad. I understand. I know fans get mad or whatever else. You have a new CBA coming up, or negotiations or whatever is going to happen here after the next baseball season. Everybody talks about, well, we need a cap. Well, we need a salary cap floor and everything else. I vote for getting rid of arbitration and just abolishing that thing in general. Because any player that goes in there, which I would never advise a player to go to any one of these damn hearings, but any player that goes in there is going to come out bitter and mad at whoever the other team is, because y'all are telling them what's wrong with him and why you won't pay him. So that's never a positive situation. And you're burning bridges and whatever else. Like, that always goes down the wrong path. And especially, like, oh, we're arguing over $400,000, or we're arguing over $750,000. And the fans are like, come on, man, quit being a cheapskate. Just give the guy what he wants so he stays happy. Right. And fans do not understand why this is here. And I think, well, maybe not for the owner's side of things, but at least for keeping relations well with the players, if you get rid of that arbitration system, maybe that helps a little bit.
Yeah, look, I don't love it, and I don't think the players love it, you know, and it's like, it is, because like you said, it's like, hey, we love you, but just guess what? We're about to, you know, unleash this case against you, right? Like, that stinks, you know?
And it's a legit case. Like, people don't understand.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how long does it take for you to build an arbitration case?
It's like months, you know, it really is.
Think about that for a
second. And again, I don't spend a lot of minutes on that. We have guys that do, and it's part of their job, and it stinks, you know, because that's just part of the business, and that's just the formula that happens. You know, for years, that's what happens. I wish to speak about the formula. Like, I wish it was just a formula. It's like, hey, you did this, you get paid this, right? It would just be much, much cleaner, in my opinion.
Right.
It's not up to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, that's part of the business. It is what it is. What I always want to try to do is just make sure we're kind to players. We're humane to them, because we do care about them. You know, and I really, like, we're all pulling for these guys. We want them to be great. And so if they're great, they're going to make money. They're going to do a lot of great things. And I think everybody wins. So I just want what's best for them and for the team. And so it is a tricky dynamic, certainly. But, like, it is part of the formula right now.
Freddie Peralta. Got to talk about Freddie Peralta. 1 year, $8 million left. Have y'all talked about extensions? Where is Freddie Peralta's mind at going into this last year? But dude's been around here a long time. I know he's worked with different youth groups in the area as well, so he's got a huge fan base from the kids that have interacted with him over the course of time, loved by everybody. Where do we sit there going into the last year of his deal?
Yeah, he's great. I mean, look, he's got roots here. I mean, he's somebody that's been a huge part of what we've been doing. I think we're better with this guy. There's no question. I think in any type of situation, like what we are, I think it's important for us to at least be open to things. But at the same time, the bar is going to be really high. You know, anytime we're going to have those kind of conversations, and we have, and those are tough. You know what I mean? In order to sustain what we're doing right now, we have to make tough decisions.
Does the Woodruff contract work against you talking to Freddie? Because you just paid him $22.5 million?
No, not at all.
So they don't use that necessarily against you?
No, not at all. No, I think we have the support from Mark to bring back the core, and that was what Mark wanted to do. That's what we wanted to do, and I think, like, we absolutely have the support to do that.
That's awesome. He is Matt Arnold, president of baseball operations, general manager of your Milwaukee Brewers. I appreciate you coming out, man. Sparky, hanging out again. I think it was fun, like always.
Always. Thanks, man.
You're good. You're not sweating or anything.
No,
you feel
all
right?
Not at all.
It's
yeah.
nice in here, though, ain't it? Look, it's 50 degrees in here, man.
Way better than outside.
It's 50 degrees. Now he's going to go get himself a baked potato over there. Our tent is going to fly away out there.
Maybe two.
Yeah, I think our tent almost just flew away outside. Some guy wearing a Brewers something or other around his neck is out there. Look at him. He's holding it down, man. That chain around your neck is helping to keep that tent down.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.